Revelation chapter 4, praise God, this is just such a sweet portion of Scripture, I think, to so many, and again, being away, sometimes the Lord, when He just gets you real still, it's such a sweet time that He'll continue to reveal things in your life, and we're going to trust Him this evening for it. But we'll go ahead and try to get through chapter 4 this evening, and let's start here in the first verse. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 elders, or 20 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were the 4 beasts, or 4 living ones, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne, and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, we have come through these first 3 chapters, and that was a vision that was given to Brother John here, and it was a viewpoint of the speaker, and it was a viewpoint, very importantly, of the world today, looking through the church age. We sit, all of us sit, in one of those churches today that we read about in those first 3 chapters. By the grace of God, this 4th chapter introduces us into the future. The viewpoint of the heavens is what this is called. And as we go on from here to the end of Revelation, this will all speak of the future. And in this, the beginning, I should say here, it says, After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. Now, we read about that open door in the Church of Philadelphia in the 3rd chapter in the 8th verse. And it said it was a door that would be set before thee, an open door that no man could shut. And again, because thou hast a little strength and hast kept the word of my patience and hast not denied my name, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. This is now the introduction of that group that by the grace of God, the Lord is going to come and have worship before thy feet. It is so wonderful to see this. And again, unless you're looking as John looked up at the very first, you're never going to see this. This group of people that we're going to discuss here tonight are those that are looking and longing for the appearing of Jesus Christ. As Brother John so wonderfully looked up, he was able to behold an open door. Brothers and sisters, there's an open door that God is setting before us tonight. And it's going to be the trumpet, and it's going to sound. And just as Brother John here said, it was a voice that was talking to him. I think you heard me say before, the Lord's encouraged me, son, get your ear attuned to know the language of the trumpet. I want to be able to hear that language. I want to be able to hear that trumpet sound. And I want to be looking up, and I want to be longing for His appearing, and that door is going to be opened. But I got to be looking up by the grace of God. I got to be expecting Him to come and to take His bride away. The bride has made herself ready. So again, here it is, that open door in heaven. And He says, I heard, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And again, to have a heavenly vision, we must see it from the heavenly side. We talk about this all the time. Where are we living today? Are you truly living today just existing as a Christian throughout this earth? Or are you living the heavenly? You are seated together with Him in the heavens right now. In order for us, I really believe, and I believe the Word of God tells us this, in order for us to have this kind of vision, you have to live the life of seated together with Him in the heavens right now. He becomes your expectation. He's everything. I can live the life of a defeated Christian if I want to, if I live the rudiments of this world. But He said, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Understanding what the call is. Understanding what God wants to show us in this heavenly vision. And notice, it was immediately I was in the Spirit. And you're never going to see this unless you're living a Spirit life. I appreciate that. And I think again how the Lord has brought to me. Faith is immediate. But there's a patient work that's being done in our life. But faith is immediate. And I don't care what the situation is. Immediately in faith, I am taken into the heavenlies. I've got the perspective of it. I can see it from the heavens. I know by the grace of God that He's for me and that who can be against me. There's boldness that comes into my life because I realize I am living Jesus Christ, at least for that moment. But praise God, I'm hoping then that I'll just get on with it and quit being deceived by this old world and understanding that this is the calling of my life. But immediately who was in the Spirit, and what does He behold? He beholds a throne. It's the focal point of everything. It is set in heaven, and one sat upon that throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper. And I'll talk briefly about these different stones here. A jasper speaks of a diamond. It speaks of its value. It speaks of clarity. And there's going to be a clear picture for some day for everyone to understand that He is God. Now, again, this is the vision of the Lord meeting His wonderful bride in the sky and those that will be round about that throne, those 24 seats, which we'll talk about in a minute. But again, it'll be clear that He is God. And also, you'll see that it's a sardine stone. And that is a red stone. And that speaks of the bloodshed. It speaks of the Redeemer. This is Christ our Lord. And there was a rainbow round about the throne. And again, the rainbow, as you go back into Noah and the Noah's Ark time, God put the rainbow there because He was going to spare flood ever taking out man again. He said, I'm going to spare him. Well, this is the same thing, that goodness of God. He's given them time, even right now, and even through that tribulation time. God's going to be merciful, and there will be people that will be saved during that tribulation time. But it says there that there is that rainbow, that hope there in the sight like unto an emerald. And that always speaks of the everlasting life. That's the green. Praise God. Now going on into the fourth verse. So here we have it set up. We have Christ in there and His wonderful majesty and in the throne room that is set in heaven. So, and round about the throne were the 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. This is the very first group that we see mentioned in heaven at this time. This is the 24 elders. Now, this has been a mystery to some. This is even a mystery to Brother Copley. If you read his book of Revelation, not the, in a sense, an edited part of it, which was later on, but if you read the original, you'll see that he stated in there that this 24 elder, this group, was part of the Bride of Christ. He later came to see that the Lord had set this group apart as a special group of overcomers in the Old Testament, but they weren't part of the Bride of Christ, and we'll hit that right now. But this 24 is so important because it speaks of the priestly covenant. The number 24 always speaks back of the Old Testament. And you think of that priestly covenant, which again spoke of the overcomer in that Old Testament time. If you would go with me to Hebrews 11:35, and we'll discuss who these people are. This is Hebrews 11:35. Now, this is, again, speaking of the Hall of Faith, as we say, the Hall of Fame of Faith. But it says, women received their dead. This is talking about those in the Old Testament. Raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. So this better resurrection meant that there had to be a lesser one. There was something better that they were looking for, even in the Old Testament time. There was something that they were looking for that would be their high calling of God, in a sense, at that time. Not the same high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus that's being offered to us in this church age time. But let's go over. So again, these ones were looking for this better resurrection. Now if we go over to Matthew 27:52, this will explain it a little bit further. That's Matthew chapter 27. Verse 52. Actually, it's back up to verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. This is when Christ is ascending from the dead. In twain, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now, these bodies that were in this, as we know, as Upper Sheol at this time, were down there. These were the Old Testament saints. There hadn't been any New Testament saints at this time because, in a sense, I'm talking about after the day, I should say after Pentecost saints, because Pentecost hadn't come at this time as of yet. So again, these were these Old Testament believers that it was talking about. And it said, many bodies of the saints which slept arose. It didn't say all of them did. There were just some that were raptured up at this time. And again, this is speaking about the Old Testament overcomers. These were the ones, in a sense, that were ready, that were prepared to have the highest, the best overcoming resurrection, as it said, the best resurrection that they could have. Now again, let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this will kind of finalize that thought of who these folks were, who these wonderful 24 elders are. And that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll go to verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And I'll make note of this word alive. We're going to read that same word, or the root of that word, in the four living ones, which I believe we'll get to tonight. These ones that are alive, that are looking for the Lord and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That is this dead. Those are the ones that rose, that are going to be with Jesus Christ at the time of this bride coming up to meet him in the air. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. This group that are dead in Christ, they are the ones that will rise first. This is the representation of these 24 elders that are sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And I'll go a little bit further. Some still have a problem with understanding, well, why couldn't the ones in the Old Testament be bridal saints? Well, first of all, it's God's plan, so I have to leave it at that. But second of all, the Word of God talks about something called the Day of Pentecost. And also has the wonderful book of John. And the Lord was telling them that I must go so the Comforter might come. And the Comforter had to come in order to lead the ones that would be willing into all truth. He said, I have many things to say unto you now, but you can't bear them. But when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, then He will be able to lead you into all truth. Now those that were in the Old Testament, they did not have that ability of that infilling for their lives. It didn't happen until Pentecost. In order to be enlightened, enriched, illuminated for the deep things of God, in a sense of the bride of Christ. That's the difference. If you ever didn't think you were privileged, you are privileged to be born in this time. I hope you understand that. You're privileged to understand, at least to be given this message at this time. I saw my dear friend Sean. I hadn't seen him for 14 years. He's been living in Pennsylvania. And I know he's had a heart for God. I know he's seen the deeper things of God, and it's been wonderful. And I asked him, I said, "Brother, have you found a place that you can really go and worship?" He says, "Oh, there's many sweet people that love the Lord out here. I appreciate their fellowship." But he said, "There's a limit to it. I've never met one place." And he said, "Jess, I've been to hundreds of churches, and I haven't found one that really understands the Bride of Christ." Isn't that something? We're privileged. We see something that by the grace of God that He has given us. Now, He wants all people to see this. But again, take advantage of this. Be looking up as John did, and that door is going to be open. You're going to be out of here. I'll tell you, there's a lot of benefit to being out of here. I can see some of your faces. A little low and wondering about this or that. Listen to what He's telling you. Listen to what He's calling you to. He'll lift you right up. He'll lift you right up out of here so much, you'll be out of this place and out, and by the grace of God, into a new body here soon. Praise His name. But all right, you'll notice that they're clothed in white raiment, and they have crowns of gold on their head. Now, we read in those seven churches, the only two churches that it spoke about that had crowns. Again, let's put all these things together. Let's connect these dots under the Holy Spirit. The Church of Smyrna and the Church of Philadelphia, which spoke of the overcomers in the church age. So these wonderful 24 elders, these representations, and again, there's not just 24 of them there. This is a body that's represented. They have overcoming qualities. They are given the white raiment, and by the grace of God, they are given the crown. Now, going on. "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings." And again, we were out there in Virginia, and I'll tell you what, I don't think I've ever seen that much rain. And they're still getting rained on out there. And I'll tell you, it was just a blessing. I heard from my aunt. We got out of there early yesterday morning to fly back. And I was just praying. I said, "Lord, just give us a little break so we could get out of there." And thank the Lord, we just skated right on top about 31,000 feet and zipped right on home. And then that wall started building and building. My cousin Dave was going back the same day. And I guess my aunt just said that he got stranded in St. Louis. And they couldn't get him in there till their break, until about 1:30 in the morning. So, praise God how He takes care of me. I guess I got a travel story like Brother Hill used to have now, too. But see, when He wants you somewhere, I had peace about staying there. I knew that God would be with you just like He's with me. But He knew my heart. I wanted to come home. I wanted to be with y'all. I missed you. I believe He wanted us to be here to just thrill in this wonderful chapter this evening. But out there, you'd hear that thunder and lightning, and man, you'd hear that almost all night long. But as you started hearing that, you knew the rain was coming. You knew it was coming. And this is exactly what this is talking about. I'm telling you, there's proceedings and lightnings and thunderings and voices, and in a sense, God's calling that right now. I think God's so evident right now. And there's going to come a cleansing. I'm going to tell you, He's going to break forth that rain, and this place is going to be cleansed. And it's going to be completely cleansed. And it's coming. And by the grace of God, that's why let's be about the Lord's business. And if He encourages us to testify, to pluck that brother out of a home that's burning, and the ones that are unbelievers, let's give them the Word of God. And it says that there, "And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." And again, those spirits of God, we read about them back in chapter 1, verse 4. And those seven spirits, it didn't say that they were a fire burning. It said that God had given those spirits out. And you understand that we talked about that this was Jesus Christ, His wisdom to all the churches. This was the perfect wisdom that He wanted them to have, to come to a full knowledge of the truth. And this spirit was sevenfold of Christ. It was His wisdom, His understanding, His counsel. Think what He's sending out to us even this evening. His might, His knowledge, the fear of the Lord, the quick understanding. All of those things are being sent by Jesus Christ Himself through His Spirit, which can grow us up into all things, that we can grow in this all truth that Christ is talking about here. But you'll notice that now it's lamps of fire burning. This is judgment time. He's going to start turning it up a little bit at the beginning of this tribulation. It's going to start happening. And then I'm going to tell you, in the middle of it, it's going to be fully raging. And it's coming. And I can sense it's coming. And by the grace of God, we can see it coming throughout the revelation of what's going on in this world right now. All right, going on to verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Now, I want us to notice there, before we go on, those 24 elders, you saw that their seat was wonderful. It was in the midst of the throne. It was right there next to it. It was very close. But here is the next group that we see in heaven. We see the 24 elders. Remember, they wouldn't prevent them, did they, that were dead in Christ? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those overcomers in the Old Testament. Then we which are alive and remain. Those are the ones that will be ready. The ones that are looking for His appearing. Those are the Smyrna saints. Those are the blessed saints of Philadelphia that are looking and ready for Jesus' appearing. That's the bride that's made herself ready. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were the four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Now, the sea of glass. A lot of people think about that and try to consider, what do we think that is? Well, I think there's a great cleansing that it has to take place, doesn't it, before we could ever even get near the throne. You'll read about the sea of glass as well, too, in Revelation 7:9. It's a place where the innumerable multitude is going to stand. And they're going to be way out before the throne, okay? But by the grace of God, you're going to read, as we read right here, the four living ones, these four beasts, are in the very midst of the throne. A bride, the queen, is going to have her throne with Jesus Christ, the King. She's going to be right there. Now, by the grace of God, do you see that in your life? Is that your expectation? I pray it is. He wants you to have that. That's not something for us to say, oh, I'm not worthy of it. Sure, you're not worthy of it. I'm not worthy of it. But He can make you worthy of it. And He wants you to have that. He wants us to step up in faith by the grace of God and go in there boldly. And say, Lord, let me be open to believing the things that You have in this book. These aren't just words. These aren't just things of a wonderful thought of a fairyland somewhere. They're for you. They're yours personally. This is His love letter to you. And this chapter 4 is one of the greatest parts of His love letter that we could ever have. He set up here that we can see that there's different bodies in heaven at different times. They're doing different things. And it just so happens that this four living creature group is the wonderful ones that are in the very midst of the throne. Now let's talk about them being in the midst of the throne. Notice that there were four. Four is the number of human weakness. And a lot of people say, well, wait a second. How could the bride be the one's human weakness? Well, let me tell you something. If you're weak in yourself, you're strong in the Lord. That's the little strength He's after, do you see? The meek are going to inherit the earth. This is the wonderful thing. And our weakness is His strength. Hallelujah. These are the things that God is crying out and calling out to us. And these living ones, these beasts, we notice that they're full of eyes before and behind. And I want to stop there with this word, the living ones. We spoke about alive there in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. The ones that are alive and remain. There's something about that life. About that living. And they all come from the same root word, which is zao, which means live. These are the living ones. And I believe that the Lord so dealt with me. And I'd like you to go to a very familiar portion of Scripture in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I want us to read this together. That's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Just so ironically, amazingly, that word live is the same live for the living creatures. It's also the same word for the alive and remain, the ones that are looking for His appearing. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That liveth, that word live is the same word, it's zao. And the life which I now live, and it's that same word again, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You want to live as a Christian? I do. The only time we ever live as a Christian is in faith. Period. If we're not living in faith as a Christian, you are just existing in this world. You are. You're living defeat. The ones that live faith are the ones that are going to reap reward. You see this? I so appreciate God. It's so simple, and we've heard it so many times, but how He even brings it out in all of the Scripture. He ties it all together over and over for us. But again, we need to, by grace, allow this faith to be built in our life. And faith is built one way. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And in that hearing and hearing by the Word of God, it means listening. It means believing. It means that it's your own. I trust this Word. It is. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's what we're doing this evening. These are the ones that are diligently seeking Him. Do you understand that you have to have the greatest of faith to believe the things that we're talking about tonight? People don't believe this stuff. They don't. How many people do you think have read through Revelation? Millions upon millions. But how many people will stop to say, Lord, through Your Spirit, reveal this stuff to me? I think it's very clear. I think it's very plain. There was Brother DeHaan, Brother Hill used to mention of. I was reading a book of his this afternoon on Revelation. And I appreciated all the wonderful, sweet things that he would say. But then he said there, now to think that the Bride of Christ is not anything but the whole church. After he started talking about each one of these companies of believers, you would have to be silly. Because any Christian is looking for the Lord's appearing. I know very few Christians that are looking for the Lord's appearing. I see many Christians that are looking for the next job. I see many Christians that are looking for the next car, the next house, the next mess I can get myself into, and all of those types of things. And it's a shame. I want to be looking for the Lord's appearing. And that isn't everybody. It's just not. It's a small little tiny rib portion. And brothers and sisters, see it. Oh, hallelujah. Just allow the Lord to just engulf and enrapture your heart to say, Lord, that's why I'm living today. That's what I want to live for. I want to live for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to meet You in the air. I appreciate the crystal sea. I appreciate the streets of gold. I appreciate that there's a mansion specifically that You're building for me. But I want to be with You. I want to see You. I want to see You. Oh, I want to see You. Praise God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You talk about the miracle of faith that we could sit here tonight and believe, I mean, fully believe, that this is real, that we can step into this in any moment. That is the greatest miracle, and it's the greatest miracle of faith that is being offered to man today. Praise God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. But again, here's these four living ones, it says, and they're full of eyes. Again, speaking of a perfect vision, it says, without a vision, people perish. Without a vision, Christians perish. I was speaking today to a couple that comes and helps in our home every once in a while. And I appreciate him. She was so excited. She said how she rededicated her life to the Lord this last week. And I appreciated that. She was so excited about that refreshing time. But she said, you know, I went to that church and I wanted to hear the Word of God. She said, we sang for about an hour and 45 minutes. But you know, God still worked, didn't He? And she said she went up there and she was just so thankful and she cried. And she was just so happy about it. But see, there were 25 years that she said were lost in her life because she had no vision. She was blinded. 25 years wasted. Now, forgetting those things which are behind, like we were talking and rejoicing today, I said, you're new. Hallelujah. And you've got an opportunity of a vision today. And a vision of the high calling. And a vision to run. Praise His name. But this is the vision that these wonderful four living ones had. And they had them before and behind. They're all seeing. They're completely enlightened to the truth. Now let's keep going. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had a face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Now, The Word of God says that as we believe Him, as we trust Him, we are changed from glory to glory, even into the very image of Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of times I have to live with this old guy every single day. And I don't see much change maybe every day. It's kind of like your kid. You know, we were out there and they hadn't seen my oldest boy for a long time. You know, about 4 or 5 years. Man, did he grow. I can't believe how big he is. I see him every day. I think he's a pretty big guy, but, you know, it's like he keeps growing up. It's patience, isn't it? Hallelujah. It's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. That's how it's built in our lives. That's faith. That's faith by the grace of God. And this glory that He works in us, and this glory that is seen in this group of the four living ones, is Christ-like. And let's talk about each one. The first beast was like a lion. That speaks of the book of Matthew. That's our wonderful Lord, seen as the King. And yes, He is the King. Praise God. He was the King of the Jews. And praise God, He's going to be the King of forever and everything. Someday, God is going to let Him take that throne. Hallelujah. Now the second beast, this one had a different look. It was like the look of an ox, and that speaks of the book of Mark, where Jesus Christ was the servant. You see how this is all coming together? I know most of you know this, but again, let's rejoice in it. I'll tell you, this is your bridegroom. You better be happy with Him. You better be real excited with Him, or you're not holding fast that crown which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. What do you think of that? See, I better be excited about Him. Hallelujah. And I believe we are. We wouldn't be here. But there He is. He's the servant. These are the qualities. See, I want to live the ruling and reigning life like the lion. Because I know He's for me. If God be for me, who could be against me? We talked about this before. People that don't understand faith think it's arrogance. I don't believe I'm arrogant. I really don't. But I believe by the grace of God, my faith is beginning to know Him more and more. And I'm standing in it. By His grace, I'm going to stand in it. And I know whom I've believed. And then this calf, it's this servant. Made himself a no reputation. Looking upon the need of my brother. What do you think of those types of things? These are the qualities that are in this bride. We could go on and on. And the third beast had a face like a man. Christ Jesus absolutely 100% became a man. And He was tested in every way. Been talking to a lot of people. Well, brother, you don't know what I went through. I don't know what you're going through, but I know who does. I know who's walked it. I know who has tried in every way. I know who is tempted in every way. So He could come in and He could comfort you. Because He's the God of all comfort. He has not left us comfortless. He's there for us. Hallelujah. And He will give us comfort if we'll just allow Him to do it. And then finally, that fourth beast was like a flying eagle. The overcomer, praise God, the heavenly. And Christ Jesus is that. He's everything. And again, these were the four types that were seen in these four living ones. And it's the perfect image of Jesus Christ. I think it's a great barometer. It's not like I'm trying to walk around being Jesus. I'm just allowing Him to work in me. Christ in me is what? The hope of glory. This is what this is talking about. This is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Praise God. And if you're still a little bit confused to saying, well, how do you think that these four living ones are people, or, you know, people just say that they're... Jump over to the fifth verse and the eighth and the ninth verse. Let's just read it real quick for some that might not know this. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. First of all, I don't know what else could fall down except, in a sense, people in a way. But having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, and are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song. So look at all these traits and things that these ones are doing. But the thing that tells you that these are mankind, men and women, thou art worthy to take this book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Well, the only thing that could ever be redeemed is a human. Okay, so this is what these 24 elders are, and this is what these four living ones are, as they're human. Okay, now let's go back to the eighth verse. And the four living ones, or the four beasts, had each of them six wings about. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now, the four beasts again, each of them had six wings. Now if you go over, and I'll just make note of this, we don't have to turn there, but in Ezekiel 1, and particularly verse 5, you will see there that it talks about these living ones, these beasts, they're seen there as well too. And it's so wonderful how when it talks about their wings, it speaks of them in pairs of two. If you think about a wing, they're in pairs. So this number six, I think it's significant in a couple different ways. You'll read in Brother Copley's Revelation, I appreciate how he brings it out. He says there's pairs, which is two, and then there's three sets of them. So you have the sufficient witness going on, but you also have the divine Trinity. And again, this wonderful group of believers has the sufficient witness that there's the divine Trinity just thriving in their life. It's there. It's evident. It's in the evidence of what they are as far as the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the evidence of Christ in them. But I also think, too, that as you go on, and they were full of eyes within. Talking, first of all, we saw that they had eyes behind and before, but now it talks about eyes that are within. And I think about that number six again. It also means humanness, and it means examined. And if you really think about those eyes within, I think there's a wonderful verse in the Word that says, examine thyself if you be in the faith. Huh? You know what that verse means to me? Be real before God. Be real. Quit fooling around. We've had sermons about this not too long ago. You can't fool Him. And I don't want to waste my time trying to fool you. I don't. And don't waste your time trying to fool me. There's not time to waste. And God knows. He knows the heart. He's searching the hearts. He's searching them right now for the true worshiper. And this is the true worshiper here. That's going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's the one that's going to be ready to marry His Son. It's not the one that's trying to impress brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so that's over here. It's that God is working in me real time. It's sincere. It's nothing that's put on. There's no reason to do that. Brothers and sisters, we got to get on with this and to give Him every bit of our life. I don't want to hold back anything from Him. I want to come open with God. And this is that examining thyself. I believe this is when we have those eyes within, we're understanding that God is seeing us. And by the grace of God, I need to see me. I need to know. Lord, as David said, search me. If there's any wicked way in me, let's get done with it. Let's get it out of here. Amen. But we got to be willing to change. Not just talking about it. Saying, Lord, change me. Let me be a believer. Not just a hearer, but an absolute, by the grace of God, a doer. Allowing that Word to do and to work in me, to will and to do of His good pleasure. There's a difference there. But we stop, don't we? And you know why we stop? Because we're selfish. I really believe it. We've got to put that stuff aside by the grace of God and go on with Him. I think there's so many things that He could tell us in His Word, and especially in here. But they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. That's a Hebrews 11:6. I appreciate that again, and I mentioned it earlier, that they who come to God must believe that He is. You'll notice that this is the group that's always praising Him. The Word of God tells us to be continually in the prayer, doesn't it? Praying always. Always. And He gives us a lot of the qualities of praying always here is that we're to be thankful. We're to give Him honor. We're to give Him glory in it. This is what this group is. It's telling you, examining ourselves whether we be in the faith. Are we like this? And you know, Lord, if I'm not, help me to be the man of God You want me to be. Because He wants you to be this. He doesn't want you to live in fear. He doesn't want you to live in doubt. He doesn't want you to live in being just wishy-washy about stuff. He wants you to come boldly in there. He wants you to fully go after God. All right, let's go to verse 9. I think we can wrap this up. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne who lives forever and ever. And again, I'm going to have to stop here just for a second because now this is so precious again. This is the four living ones. There's a difference as we'll read on throughout Revelation if Jesus tarries and Lord willing we continue to study this. You'll see that the 24 elders, they'll be mentioned again, and it's wonderful. You'll always see them in the presence before the throne, around the throne. But again, you only see these living ones in the midst of the throne. And the one thing about the living ones that is so precious we're going to see, they're the ones that are going to bring on the events. They're the ones that are going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. When those seals start to open, I'm going to tell you who's blowing the trumpets and who's getting in there and saying, hey, let's go. It's the ones that are ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. And I know you're sitting there and you're saying, who, me? You're going to have the ability, praise God. And you know what the ability is? It's to love Him. That's the ability. You know when you just love somebody? Just like you've seen those different ones throughout history. And most of the time you've seen men, and I'm sure women have done it as well too. But there's these great kings, and or I should say princes, that come along. Well, they fall in love with just the little pauper girl, don't they? But you know what? What could she bring to this palace? What could she do? Well, I just love her, and she's coming in. It's that simple. I just love her. I didn't do anything to merit it. I didn't do anything. It's just me. He just loves me. It's that simple. Praise God. I love the Lord that He is bringing us into that type of relationship with Him. But turn over to 1 Peter 1:7. 1 Peter 1:7. I want you to think about those words of, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne. This again, I hope, would encourage us to be ready. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This is such a wonderful thing. There's those words again. And look how it's going to come in our life that we can really bring this praise, honor, and glory to Him. It comes one way, doesn't it? The trying of our faith. I think I recall in the Word of God, if ye suffer with me, you'll reign with me. And then it also says, we're heirs of God and joint heirs if. See, there wasn't an if about being an heir. If you're a child of God, you're an heir. But a joint heir, if so be that ye suffer together with me. But I have to allow that type of fellowship to come in my life. And that's stepping up in wedlock. Men and women that truly love each other and step into wedlock with one another, they share evenly, equally in the highs and the lows, don't they? Huh? Well, you're going through that, honey. I've got to let you have that one alone, and I'm going to step over here. It don't work that way. Uh-uh. Nope. Nope. In real marriage, it's together. You love the Lord, you'll suffer with Him. Don't have to. I was watching that one movie where that guy lived on that tower for like 50 or 30 years. Back in, I think, 1100 or 1200. They made him a saint. To give him a trophy of a nut. Do you see how repugnant that would be to God? See, that's a dirty self-righteousness to think. I would have to think he had to laugh a little bit on that one. And the stench, they said, that would happen when they bring it up there. They bring him his food. I mean, he lived on a perch. He didn't come down. And I'm talking, I really believe it was like 20-some years. And it was 40-some feet in the air. And they would bring him his food. And then the ones that brought it to him, that because it was so awful to even see this guy and smell him, I think they became saints too. So I don't know what happened there. But you see how crazy we can get when we get apart from God. We can see, and it's just stupid. It's just absolutely stupid. Okay? We can do all the feel good we want, and it's worthless. It's absolutely worthless. You get in with God, and it'll be forever. But you'll notice that the ones that are going to have this at His this glory and honor are going to be the ones that are allowing this fire, their faith to be tried. They're the ones that are going to be rich. They're the ones that are going to have a little bit of strength. They're ones that, by the grace of God, as we read through the Church of Philadelphia there, they're the ones that haven't denied the Word. They've kept the Word. They've held the Word of His patience dear to their life. You do that and you'll suffer. That's all the suffering you'll ever need. You do that and you'll suffer. You go with God, I'm going to tell you, and I know there's a lot of brothers and sisters right now, some even newer ones that have come in to the fold. When you make that step for the things of God, you're going to be fought. It's just going to happen. It's going to be laid down right there. You'd say, well, why doesn't God insulate us? If He was a loving God, why wouldn't He just kind of set us aside and say, well, He's got such a good heart, we're going to leave Him. It don't work that way. It's done. You got to fight the good fight of faith. And I'm going to tell you, it's the hardest, greatest fight you'll ever have. I thought I had some fights before. This is the greatest fight we'll ever have. And it's a good fight of faith, praise God. And we're going to, by His grace, be victorious in it. All right, verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before Him after they were given this thanks and honor. And remember, again, the bride started it off, those living ones. Okay, and now following suit, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne. And they worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. And I've heard people say before too, well, if you really appreciated your crown, you're not going to throw your crown. You know, let's not get into that. You know, that's just silliness again. I'm sure we're holding fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I think it's a wonderful thing. Praise God. But you know what? I also appreciate the humility of my brothers and sisters here as well too. They realize they're not worthy. You're not worthy to have that crown. I'm not worthy to have that crown. None of us are. The only thing we're worthy of right now is to be vaporized. And that's about the truth of the matter. But He's given us a crown. He really has. I can see Him out there. And I believe you're cherishing it. And it's precious. And that's the thing that inspires me by the grace of God. I'm thankful. And I mean it. There's nothing greater when somebody says, well, brother, I appreciate your faith. You're inspiring me. The things that God's bringing into your life and everything. And that's a wonderful thing. But I say it about you too. Think how blessed we are. I think about my friend out there. You know, he's isolated out there. But I'm telling you what. With God, you're a majority. Huh? And He has him. So pray for him. I sure love my friend Sean, and I miss him. I pray the Lord would even bring him back here. But if I see him in the air, that'd just be that much better. How's that? All right. So they're casting their crowns before Him. Again, this is just such a wonderful act of, and not just an act of, it's a known humility that we're not worthy. But Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy. See what they're saying here? To receive glory and honor and power. And I pray by the grace of God that we're in that state at this time, that we need to understand and know that He is. It's Him. It's not about, I mean, in a sense, yes, it is all about me with Him, but it's Him. He's the one that's going to do this work in me. He's the one that's going to complete this in me. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. I have to understand that. See, a lot of people will fight that. They were created for His pleasure. By the grace of God, I was created for His pleasure. But the thing that He gave me, the thing that He gave man, is He gave you free will. The first and only thing ever created that had free will. Those angels don't have free will. They were commanded and they're going to do exactly what they said. Well, what about those that left Him? He commanded, and that was what they were going to do. Okay? He just let them do it. Dog's got to be a dog. Horse got to be a horse. Pig got to be a pig. All that kind of thing. We got a choice. We got a wondrous choice here. And you'll notice that it said, for Thou hast created all things. And that's the creation by the grace of God that's going in us, is that we can be His workmanship. Do you realize that? That you can be His workmanship. You can be the thing that's absolutely pleasing to God. I appreciate that at night, not because of me, but because of God's working in me. I was laying in my bed when I was out there in Virginia thinking, Lord, You're pleased with me. Let Him be pleased with you. And you know all that for Him to be pleased with us is just to believe Him. I mean, just really, really believe Him. And when you believe Him, just love on Him and call out to Him. Be in that meditation with Him. Know that He's for you. When you see these dark times coming your way, when you see the trine of your faith is more precious than gold, by the grace of God, let Him cause you to rejoice. Really, When you realize that He stripped you of everything, when He stripped you and made you completely weak in something, and maybe it's many things, that's when He can do something with you. But we got to be willing. For we are created for His pleasure. And I want that full creation all over me that's going to take me into complete faith, that's having me look up and love His appearing. How about you? Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, again for just the invitation into the throne room this evening. Thank you again that you can bring such joy in your word. Thank you that there's such promise and in this high calling of God in Christ Jesus, help us to understand it's for each and every one of us personally here, Lord God, that yes, this is the four living ones, but it's about each and every one of us personally with you. And we're going to rejoice in the midst of you by the grace of God. And hallelujah, by the grace of God, we're going to rejoice in your throne. Help us to take heed to that calling. Help us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. In Jesus' name, amen.